Right, before we start, anything that you do with your keyboard is a fucking pain in the ass. It takes me time to find who's making the noise and edit it. Do not touch your keyboards, please. Okay? It's a fucking pain in the ass. It really is. Listening to anyone type. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Right.
He's got his Remington out.
I tell you what, I think I'm definitely going to, I'm definitely going to edit that bit out.
Yeah.
So
leave it in.
Hey there, listeners. It's another episode of The Reducer. I say another, is it episode 12? 12. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, 12, right, okay. So, and as always, I have with me David Klein.
Hello.
And Dave Rothney.
Hello.
Hello. Hello to you both. So, we've been knocking stuff backwards and forwards in WhatsApp, and we've come up with a few ideas for things to talk about today. But I thought it was incredibly relevant to maybe discuss... trans people in sport, trans women in sport, actually trans people, because, you know, there's trans men, there's trans women. So recent developments have slowed the progress of trans people being able to compete in certainly swimming, cycling, How do we all feel? Where do we all stand on this? Because as three white male middle class blokes,
middle aged as well.
Yeah. It's not our world anymore. I mean, ultimately, I presume no one fucking cares what we think. I'm gonna put it out there that from my point of view, I don't think testosterone levels is the answer. I don't think testosterone levels negates the way muscles are built and the way a skeleton is put together. This is just biology. And whilst I'm all for equality, which, you know, always sounds like, oh, I'm not a racist. I've got loads of black friends. I am all for equality, but not my sort of tagline after that is always, but not everything is for everyone. Personally, I don't know. I kind of, at this stage, I'm thinking if we can't agree, then trans athletes are being excluded full stop at the moment. So a trans woman doesn't want to compete as a woman, understandably. Or rather does want to compete as a woman, doesn't want to compete as a man, understand that. But if the other women feel that's an unfair advantage and science and biology say it's an unfair advantage, do we then create, you know, rather than going from nobody to everybody, do we need to create a way station? Do we need to have trans events at athletics meets? You've got the men, you've got the women, and then you've got, inverted commas, other genders. And then that brings in, now some would say, well, hang on, that stigmatizes them, but if they're not allowed to run at all, that doesn't, and you know, and if you can't see it, you can't be it. What the fuck do we do?
I think it's tricky. Well, it's a very, very vexed, polarizing question. As we've seen, was it Seb Coe saying that he didn't think that trans athletes should be allowed to compete in regular events? I may have misquoted him a little bit there, but words to that effect. I mean, until there is what greater scientific evidence, if you're a man or a woman, that's it's biological construct, isn't it? It's biological fact. You're born with a gender. And that's not to say that when you're socialized, you grow up, that gender, you feel like you don't fit or belong to a certain category. So So socialization, a social construct.
Can I just intrude there?
Yeah.
Well, some would say that no, you're not born as an exact gender, and people give examples of, you know, right from birth, not feeling male and not feeling like a male or like a female. You also have hermaphrodites, which are scientifically, no, they're not born with a gender, they're born with the genitalia, and can go
the first
between
6 weeks of life from conception, all fetuses are female.
Right.
It's only when hormones then kick in. That's why men have nipples. People say, why do men have nipples? Well, basically because we're all female. Because if you think about X chromosomes, Y chromosomes, women have two X chromosomes, men have one female chromosome, one Y chromosome. So arguably men, we are half female, which always, I use that sometimes when I hear people talking about, you know, masculinity. And so it's like, we are actually half female. It's just, we've got all, there's so much socialization goes on, which determines our outlook and attitudes to gender, you know. It's like the notion of misogyny. It's like, well, you're hating half yourself. You know what I mean? It's crazy. But yeah. Just to go back to what you say, I mean, I think the solution in the short term, until there's greater scientific evidence, is to go back to what you said. Possibly, just like you have Paralympics, you have...
that's a lovely comparison.
No, it's not. I'm not... Well, why? Why is it? I think that's a reasonable comparison. I think... if there's a trans category for athletics, I think that might be a solution. At least people get to compete until the vexed question of should trans athletes be allowed to compete against regular, for want of a better description, athletes.
Until we find a way of integrating trans athletes of all genders into all sports, that there's got to be a way station, because at the moment we're trying to go from black to white. And, you know, without even passing grey, you know?
I think there needs to be a caveat on this discussion as well, because if we misspeak in this world of woke, if we misspeak, it's not because we don't understand the issues. It's because perhaps we're not fully conversant with the parlance that we should be using.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to point out, the three of us, and I know you both well, I've known you over 25 years, the three of us mean well. We're into diversity, we're into inclusion. So if anyone takes offence at anything we say, we apologise now. The caveat is, yeah, sometimes, as white, middle-aged, middle-class blokes, we may not say the right things, but that doesn't mean to say there's any malice behind it. I think it's worth pointing that out.
And do you know what? I think you've made a really, really valid point there. I think there is a tendency for... We've got to a stage now where if you do misspeak, it is now taken as a, you know, as opposed to somebody misspeaking in a debate, it's taken as a, oh, that's what you really meant. That's really your point of view. That's really your standpoint. And you're beaten over the head for using the wrong terminology, when in fact the greater debate is being spoiled by that granular nature of the language.
It's the world we live in now, and it's usually people taking offense on behalf of someone else. It's usually some sort of woke individual. I'm not on board with that term at all, and that's another discussion completely, but it's just like, why are you being offended? You're not even in the category of person who should be offended if any offense was made. You're taking offence on behalf of someone else, which is ridiculous. But it's the world of social media now, where everyone has a voice, everyone has a platform, and you can say whatever you want.
Well, we're back to, you know, all roads lead back to social media. Let's...
Well, it's not helped.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. But is that workable? I mean, the thing is that there's... Forced equality. That's basically what we're trying to do. Is we are trying to force equality into everything, whereas it invariably takes time. We go through, so like for instance, the Me Too movement came about, and we got shed loads of movies that were made that normally would have been men in those roles. Now it's women. Some movies have been remade where it was a man in the lead role and it's been changed to a woman, and which is absolutely fine. A lot of it garbage, but it would have been garbage with men in it anyway. But what I'm saying is, we're living in a particular time of overcorrection. It's like everything was wrong and it's all over here. Mm. So we go, right, do something about it. So we smash it over here and go, right, it's fixed. No, it isn't. We've gone from one ludicrous state of affairs to another ludicrous state of affairs. And over time, we'll just reset back to the middle, and sort of neutral ground will be found. It's very difficult to do that.
In the 80s, we had political correctness, 80s and 90s, particularly 80s. And it's like the notion of tackling racism by not calling a blackboard, call it a chalkboard, or renaming Clement Attlee House Moses Mayokizo House to tackle apartheid in South. What you're doing is you're not tackling the issue. All you're doing is assuaging your liberal conscience, and you're just irritating the people who don't understand the issues because you haven't bothered to explain it to them. But it's just gesture politics.
I remember Ian Wright picking up on this very thing.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I don't know where the interview is, but it's a great interview. And he says, he said, like, when they took the gollywog off Robinson's Jam, he goes, wait, it never bothered me, to be honest. I don't know when. He goes, none of my mates living in an estate in, you know, southeast London, worried about gangs and drugs and night. We're not, but the gollywog on Robinson's Jam ain't changing anybody's life. And he goes, and in fact, if anything, it's more divisive because now some white people are going, hang on, where's the gollywog gone? And he goes, you know,
nobody's bothered to explain to them, explain the situation. It's just, it's been done and it's like, get on with it. And it's the same with wokeism, the whole thing, the whole debate, all this, you know, safe spaces, cancel culture, that all evolved from university campuses. Well, largely, people who attend universities are middle class and privileged. They're in a privileged position. So that debate has now spilled over into wider society. So what was, you know, probably something for a debating society on a university campus has now been, it's almost like it's an enforced policy by people. And it's just, it's not helping, it's hindering. It's holding us back because nobody's bothered to explain the issues. And as you say, it's self-defeating anyway, because people will either go, fuck it, I'm not interested, or it'll just dissipate, just like political correctness is. I mean, it's a butt of jokes now, isn't it, political correctness? I mean, the two are very similar, political correctness and wokeism are very, very similar. And that's the whole trans debate falls into that category. I know it's more serious, but I mean, I'd say ultimately, you know, as dare I say it, the fucking planet's about to melt down with various environmental issues. We got a war in Ukraine. It's like there are really serious things facing humanity, and it's almost like as Dave Rothney used the expression, I often quote you say we're over civilized. I remember you saying that years ago. You said it's a case of being over-civilized. It's a first world problem rather than a third world problem.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think there's a difference. I think I agree, just been listening, because you two are kind of expressing this in a far better way than I could. But
Dave Rothney, the Right Honourable Representation for Wales, entering the debate.
I think there's two things, isn't there? You can't confuse. I think you're right on the language side. We're talking about the language side of wokeism, but you can't confuse that with things like Me Too, where there needed to be change.
Oh, and yes, no, I totally agree.
It's kind of a blunt instrument, but it needs to happen. You need to start a movement, to start something, to kind of create equality. You need to have some form of positive discrimination at the start. Now, where that leads is another question, and who knows? And that speaks to two things. First of all, on your point about the kind of outrage and the offensiveness, I hate that, because it's like we're all still evolving in our thinking on this. So just because I say something today, that doesn't mean that's my opinion. That's my fully formed opinion, which will be closed forever and never corrected.
Yeah.
That's just what my limited knowledge of the situation is. That's what I'm saying now, and I'm happy to kind of take that discussion further. The problem with cancel culture is that just creates ignorance, because people who don't know or misspeak then feel like,
well, it's divisive.
I'm not going to talk about this ever again because I'm cancelled or because I'm going to get into trouble. The only other thing I was going to make a point about was the Me Too and your point that it may come back to the centre ground. I guess that's my only worry, is that we don't know that. And actually the problem is that what you create is it just goes back to the way it was before.
That was a poor explanation on my part. What I actually meant was that you go from being absolutely, you know, this is wrong, then you overcorrect. So you end up wrong the other way. And then you end up in a better place than you started, because you've gone from being hideously wrong to hideously wrong to in the middle, which is maybe right. But you know, I totally take your point, and it is, you know, somewhat of an oversimplification, but you know, that's me, that's oversimplification.
But no, well, hey, we're all, I mean, but I agree with you on cancel culture, and it's just ridiculous. But you know, you can't wade into it, you know, and so I just don't, you know, the whole kind of JK Rowling thing, which is again a subject for another day, but I just, and the whole offence thing, I've always had an issue with this, that the only people that can take offence are people who are, to whom the offence is directed at. You can't take offence.
The boss of something, yeah.
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 And if you, and offended is the wrong word anyway.
Yeah.
Probably you're hurt, you're enraged, you're angered. But offended, I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It just means that, I mean, I've never been offended in my life, but then I'm a white guy, so I'm, you know, the world is set up for me, so I'm not there to be offended. I'm there. Yeah. I read a very funny thing from Robin Ince in his recent book, and he said he was writing about something, and he said, I wanted to, my wife told me to check my white privilege, and I said, why should I check my white privilege? Surely somebody should be doing that for me.
Brilliant.
So I don't know where we go from here in terms of, I mean, I sort of feel that the whole trans debate, it's all about equality. And, you know, I think, you know, some people should, it's all a question of everybody should have equal rights. And I sort of agree with that. But how you enforce it is another question. But
what the really difficult part of this is that the actual debate is about, does giving a trans woman equal rights then damage the rights of the non-trans women because the trans woman has an advantage over them in competition? So that's not equal rights, that's now unequal. It's, and that's the issue, that's not going to go away, and I don't see how it's solvable.
I mean, I think you're right. We should have different sorts of Olympics. I think we should definitely have a drugged Olympics versus a non-drugged
Dirty Olympics. Olympics.
No, because it's like, because it does feed, I mean, I'm making a ridiculous point, but it does kind of feed into it. It's like, if you're going to have external kind of hormones, drugs, just sort of have that, and you should have all of your full disclosure on your top as to what you've taken and crack on with it. And let's see somebody do the 100 metres in 3 seconds.
Yeah, the crack Olympics.
I'd watch that.
I'd watch like hideous, oversized people, like just taking loads of steroids and all sorts of gear.
Yeah,
just
weightlifting. You know, can you imagine the weightlifting? It'd be like World's Strongest Man. They'll just be lifting like a car in each hand.
Yeah, and their arms snap off.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll have people like literally having cardiac arrests and dying in the middle of the event. You know, oh, well, he's obviously been on the juice. Dear me, he's overdone it.
And now on Sky, the Dirty Olympics.
I think they could have, so people that choose not to have any additives, sort of the organic athletes, they can have their own sort of, you know, they can do the 100 metres in 20 minutes.
But also, there's no such thing, is there? I mean, let's face it. It's like they're all on something.
Yeah.
It's just what's allowed.
Mm,
you know, exactly. And that, well, it is.
And who's not been caught yet?
well, vitamins are supplements. They are, you know, oh, these supplements are okay and these aren't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're allowed Coke. No, you're not allowed Red Bull.
It's like, yeah, you're allowed creatine, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, look, well, great. We haven't got anywhere there, but fuck it. You know, at least we've thrown our hat in the ring and shown our ability to prove our ignorance on any level of subject.
I don't think there's a solution. It's one of those ongoing debates, and it's always going to divide. It's always going to polarize.
And you're right about ongoing. And I don't think there's any harm in having a trans Olympics, because that would start a debate, and it may not look initially. People might think that's a terrible idea, but at least it will start things, and then take it from there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because if you can't see it, you can't be it. Well, speaking of which, just to finish off, because I know we haven't got long, who's got Euro 2022 fever?
Are you talking about the women's competition?
No, I'm talking about Euro 2022. I think you'll find women's football is no longer called women's football. It is just called football. It has become...
Yeah, but it's a women's competition.
Apparently, Lucy Bronze,
yeah,
is hunting down Wayne Rooney's England scoring record. That's right. Scoring past a load of fucking students all your life. And playing in front of 300 people and a dog is the equivalent of playing the highest level of international sport. So this false equivalency with football is doing my head in. I am absolutely, as I've said before, I'm not a sexist, I'm not a misogynist, I'm all for free, but, you know, equal rights, freedom, wherever you're from, whatever. Fine. But I don't understand why we have women's golf and men's golf. We have women's tennis. We have men's tennis. We have women's swimming. We have men's swimming. We have women's diving. We have men's dive. It's just football. It's not women's football. It's just football. And now, yes, I wasn't joking, at least in the BBC, it's all being blended together. Appearances are now record, whether you're male or female. The goals you've scored, it's right. We don't do that with any other sport.
You still refer to it as the WSL, Women's Super League, and the Premier League. There's that demarcation.
You will see Birmingham losing 2-0 to Valencia in the Champions League. Oh, really? What the fuck's that? I'll click on that story. So, no, Dave, afraid not. Yes, it's called the WSL.
Why does it bother you? Because you waste your time when you thought you were clicking on one thing and you ended up clicking on another.
It bothers me because you're blending the women's England team's achievements and the men's England team's achievements together. That doesn't make sense. Wayne Rooney is the leading scorer for the men. And I think it's Lucy Bronze, and I apologise for my ignorance, is leading score for the women. All of a sudden, they're being blended together. How can you blend them together if they're not playing the same game?
They make
game?
The distinction. They usually say women and men. They usually say the men's. They do. They make a distinction.
Right, okay. So so what you're saying is,
yeah,
I didn't hear what I heard.
I don't know what you heard, so...
I think H has got some possibly more up-to-date information.
Basically, the Jill Scott Coffee Club podcast, I think you'll find, if you listen to the trailer for that and if you listen to any episode, where the barriers have gone. Now that is within...
I don't listen to that podcast.
But Well, I listen to the Football Daily podcast.
Right.
Funnily enough, every day. So right. I can assure you that certainly within the BBC... and this was prior to the Euros as well. It's not just the Euros. But, you know, oh, so you're moving in on Wayne Rooney's record. That's the interview. You could break Wayne Rooney's record in this tournament. How do you feel?
The record insofar as she's scoring the same number of goals as Wayne Rooney did for the men.
You're closing in on his record. You will be England's all-time lead top scorer end of this. That's my point.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I would say she plays for the women's team. There'll be a different record set in the women's side of the game. And that's not a bad thing. Women play cricket. Women play tennis. We make totally that distinction.
Right. Yeah, I, I totally agree. Yeah, I just don't understand. Well,
as I say, I hear the distinction is made. Or they always qualify. They say the women's game or the men's game. I hear that regularly. So that, I mean, I'd have to disagree with that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, Wayne Rooney played for the men's England team. And whoever, I'm not sure who set the record for the women's England team, but that's the record that she's moving in on or setting.
Well, the reason being as well is that you can't break a record of somebody if you're not competing
against them.
Against them. I mean, it's, you know, men are playing against men and women playing against women.
I agree.
If everybody, if we end up in a stage where it's men and women, and I would say personally, you look 30, 40, 50 years down the line, men and women will be playing together. It will be, and they'll think it's mad that there was ever.
Well, it's less false equivalence, to use your term. It's more, it's just disingenuous. It's not the case.
Now, you see, the thing is, I think personally, and again, this is where this can be thorny, is if you raise that point, as I just have done, then you're out of date. It's disrespectful. What I don't get is why it's football though. That's what I don't get. It doesn't happen in any other sport. It just seems to be football. But I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, it's not a hill I'm willing to die on or anything like that. But to use your word there, yeah, I do think it's disingenuous and a false equivalency. You know, it just doesn't make any sense, especially when great things are being done in female sport. There was a female boxing match recently that headlined the Madison Square Garden, sold out in minutes.
Yeah.
Great, you know, and they're calling it the greatest female boxing match of all time. They're calling it one of the greatest fights of all time. And everybody in the boxing world is very keen to make that distinction and put that fight on on the exact same level as any men's fight, because it was an absolute tear up. It was phenomenal, absolutely brilliant. And women's boxing has come like so far in such a short time.
Yeah. I think women's football has as well, but it's you watch it, it's certainly developed and improved in the last 10 years, 15, 20 years. My daughter Ruby played football, and I was involved in she was under 14s, under 15s, and I saw the level of skill from some of the girls was equivalent to what you'd expect from boys playing at the same level. But there was also the bits that weren't good were always weaker or not as developed as you would expect from boys. I'm talking about goalkeeping in particular.
Well, also you've got to wonder about the investment throughout Europe, through South America, Southeast Asia, the development of female football over there is not the same. So you can I think from a specific UK point of view, you think, oh, you know, women's football is really coming through. But I think there's actually becoming a bigger divide, because there's tons and tons of investment going into women's football, certainly in Europe. There has been in the States, but there's parts of the world where it isn't. And those parts are getting left behind.
Well, to go back to what we were saying earlier, it's almost like it's wokeism in action. It's like, women's football is as well developed as men's. It isn't. Professionally, it's not been a professional league, so therefore the standard is not as high as men's. You look at women's football now, it's probably the equivalent of, you know, second division football 20 years ago, you know, the men's game I'm talking.
Yeah.
You can see that there are highly skilled players physically with strong physical attributes, but there's also a pace to the game that's not the same. You watch a women's football match, the pace is not as fast as a men's game. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's a clear and obvious thing, but it's almost like we're going to do this. We're going to force this on you. Some of the voices that you're hearing, but it's not going to change the situation. It has to evolve slowly. Like you say, it has to develop. It has to. The professional league has to be broader and wider, and opportunities have to increase generally, and that's globally for it to the standing to increase. You know, it'll probably be 20 or 30 years before we see it at a standard that looks like the men's game now.
Yeah,
I'm going to get shot down in flames for saying that. But
no, but I will look. Evolution is different to revolution.
Yeah,
evolution happens naturally, and you end up with equality through people actually being equal, through being as good at whatever it is as other people. Revolution is just mashing the two together, and hoping for the best. But hey, you know, we are where we are, and just I'm certainly going to be watching Euro 2022, that's for sure. And there is some fantastic players that are going to be on show. But yeah, the standards not going to be what you would expect. I guess from a female pundit's point of view, there are some great female pundits out there who are ex players, but don't trade on that, and they do their research. There was, and I wish I knew who it was, but I was watching a Leeds game, and the female pundit was absolutely spot on about everything, because she'd clearly done her prep. You know, she knew all about, like Luke Ayling has got this thing called the Ayling flop. He gets a free kick every time he does it, right? And she was all over that. She knew all about it, and but also the opposition as well. And it was like, yeah, you know what? I was just thinking, wow, this pundit is one of the best pundits I've heard for a while. She just happened to be female. The point is, do your fucking homework. Don't be fucking lazy, you know, and male or female. How many times have you said, what, ITV's punditry? You had, again, I'm sorry, the female pundit, I can't remember her name, and Michael Owen. And you've got the female pundit saying, Jordan Pickford's going to be really disappointed with that goal. I saw the deflection live. They never mentioned it. So they're going on and on about how disappointed he'd be. They show the replay. Still none of them saying, but it does take a bit of a deflection. And then Michael Owen goes on and on about how Harry Kane missed the best chance in the first half. It was fucking offside. Never mentioned. He's hammering how it was. Oh, he was leaning back too much. And he was offside, you know. So, yeah, it doesn't ultimately. Do your fucking homework, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Including us, by the way.
Including us.
Including us. And on that bombshell.
Fucking bunch of dinosaurs.
I thought it was all right. I thought we had a nice little chat there.